A reading from the Gospel of John. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is the second Sunday of Epiphany, a day when every year in the lectionary we are given stories of call. Today I want to talk with you about call and specifically the call to ministry. Now, there was a time when, in the midst of all of the momentous events taking place around us, I would have thought talking about call was unsophisticatedly simple or pedestrian, churchy even. And I might have scoffed at a preacher standing up talking about the call to ministry while 20,000 National Guardsmen surround the mall on Washington. But I want you to know that when I was a child, I thought like a child. But then I growed up. And I know in my grown-up years, that there is nothing more important or more urgent to talk about than the call to ministry in just such a time as this. For these are the times that try people's souls. And there are times when people think about ultimate things. It's a time for thinking about peace and justice and righteousness and good and evil and God and Christ and the judgment seat that will stand there before all of us before too long. And it is a time when people wonder, is there any word from the Lord? And if there be a word from the Lord, we have to ask ourselves with St. Paul, how can the people hear it if no one is sent? And how can anyone be sent if no one is called? People are being called. They are being called and sent to speak the word of the Lord, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to bring back the lost, to redeem the sinners, to tend the flickering flame of faith, and to restore the souls, not only of individuals, but as Dr. King said, the soul of the nation. People are being called, though they may or may not yet know it. That is the main thrust of today's very famous Old Testament lesson, which I want to explore with you this morning. Samuel was being called, though he didn't know it. As my old high school football coach would say, Samuel didn't know come here from Sikkim. But he did know something. He knew that he had heard a voice. And old Eli, the priest, knew enough to know that this voice, this boy Samuel was hearing, was the voice of the Lord. So when Samuel told Eli what the voice had said, old Eli told Samuel what he should say back. Say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, he told him. And after, when Samuel went back and heard the voice again, he responded, speak, your servant is listening. So Samuel was called, summoned into the service of the Lord. We read this story and think about the voice of the Lord. But I want to talk with you this morning and suggest that there are actually three voices through which God speaks in this text. Three voices through which God called the servant Samuel long ago, and three voices through which God still calls servants today. The first voice is the voice within. Samuel heard a voice within calling him. I once saw an interview with Virgil Fox, the great 20th century organist and showman, who talked about being a boy of about age 7 or 8 and seeing and hearing for the first time an organ and knowing immediately within him that he belonged on that bench. We may want things to be that plainly obvious for ourselves. Something written high and clear by an airplane in the sky. But the truth of the matter is, most of us come to our callings, whatever our callings may be, more like a traveler being led along a path by breadcrumbs. And maybe that's because if we were told from the outset where it was that we are being called to, we simply wouldn't go. I sure didn't want to go. I sure didn't want to be a preacher. That's why when sometimes someone asks me, how were you called into the ministry? I tell them, oh, kicking and screaming. I wanted to be anything but a preacher. The only thing I wanted to be less than a preacher was a pastor, in fact. And I fought it as long and as hard as I could until I just couldn't stand it anymore. And in the old language of my grandparents and my great-grandparents' generations, I had to, quote-unquote, surrender to the ministry. I had to surrender to God. And though there was a time when I would have broken out in hives just at the thought of it, today I can echo the words of Harry Emerson Fosdick, who said, "If I had 1,000 lives to live, I'd be a pastor in every one." God speaks in an inner voice, calling and sometimes compelling us to come and to follow, to come and to see, as the gospel says this morning. And when we do, we find not only our call, but our very selves. The second voice with which God speaks and we hear is the call through the voice of others. As Baptists, we understand this very clearly. It is not the church, but always God who calls. It is God who gifts. But that doesn't mean that the church doesn't have a role. The church senses the call, recognizes the gifts, and seeing that little flickering flame helps to make it into a great fire. Samuel heard the voice within, but it was Eli who recognized it as the voice of the Lord. I give thanks for the church and for friends and for loved ones who first recognized the call in me before I was ready to recognize it in myself. For my mother, who after I gave the eulogy for my grandfather at his funeral, came up to me and said, "Are you sure you're not supposed to be a preacher?" And for the old pastor, Forrest Gale, who sat with me on the back of a bumper outside of a Bojangles in downtown Durham, and told me he wished I would give ministry a second thought. And suddenly the greasy little parking lot of that chicken joint became holy ground for him and also for me. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? The text asks today. Can anything good come out of a Bojangles? Come and see. Come. Let's have a talk. And for my girlfriend, now my wife, who's sitting outside a cute little cafe in Washington, D.C., she didn't do fried chicken, heard me tell her that I didn't know if I was really supposed to go to law school, but thought maybe I was supposed to go into ministry. "I know," she said. That didn't mean she liked it, but she knew. She knew. The church knew. God knew. Finally, I knew. And I knew through the voice of God and also through the voices of others. There is the inner voice. There is the voice of others. And finally, there is the voice of the times. When Samuel heard the voice, it was a very critical time in the life of Israel. Things were in chaos. The clergy were power hungry and abusive. And there was no king, no leader to unite and guide the nation. Samuel was called for just such a time as this. He was called to purify the priesthood and to anoint the ruler and to be a part of the saving of the nation. Our nation needs saving now. We are living in a dangerous time. And I read yesterday how right-wing extremist groups are already using what we witnessed on January 6th to bolster recruitment. We must recruit also. The forces of decency and kindness and love must recruit. Through the din of these dangerous times, the voice of God is calling out to recruit and raise up another generation of Samuels, leaders whose service is being summoned for the sake of God's church and God's world. The voice is crying out and the roll call is being sounded, and the next generation is saying, "Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Here we are, Lord, send us." They are being called and they are being gifted and they are being equipped right now. And when their day comes, God is going to send them out into the world, and the gates of hell shall not be able to prevail against them. God is still calling and sending. Perhaps God is calling someone listening right now, or someone who might be sent this sermon sometime later. The three voices of God call: the voice within, the voice of others, and the voice of the times. These are the voices of the past, when God called from eternity, making you who you are. And the voice of now, the voices of those around you, helping you discover who it is that you are. And the voice of the future, the voice of tomorrow, calling you to be who it was that you were created to be for just such a time as the one for which you are already being anointed. God calls. The three voices call. Listen. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and we can think of his call. I have read correspondence where he talked about the call that he had, not coming all at once, but being very gradual. At first, he wanted to be a doctor and then a lawyer. It wasn't until his senior year of college that he decided that he wanted to go into the ministry. In fact, the summer before, he had gone up to work in some tobacco fields in Connecticut. When he came back, he announced his plans to follow in his father's footsteps and become a preacher. When Daddy King heard this, he said, "The Lord has called my boy to preach." But some friends razzed him, saying, "No, they said, working in those tobacco fields called your boy to preach." But we know the truth today. Daddy King was right. The Lord called Dr. King to preach with a still small voice and with words from others, including the words of his father and his mother, and with a sense of destiny and anointing for the saving of the soul of America. We thank God for God's servant, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. But we also know that MLK wouldn't have been MLK all by himself. He needed his father and his mother and his grandparents, great servants of the church themselves. And he needed his friends and colleagues in the ministry and in the movement who were there to walk with him and work with him and help him to change this country for the good. He needed them. Back then, he needed them. And he needs us now. He needs us to continue the march. And one of these days, we're going to need others also. So I close by saying what I always say. When some young person tells me they are thinking of going into the ministry, oh, child, that is not a decision to be considered lightly. And it is not a vocation to be entered into cavalierly. But if you think you truly sense a call, or think that you might sense a call, or that you might sense a call, then I say to you, keep praying and keep listening. And when you hear the voice say your name, say back, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Send, Lord, and your servant will go." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all, and all of God's people then said, Amen.